Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Get in, loser! Mean Girls is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Join Katie Heron as she meets the plastics and Tina Fey's new twist on the modern classic. Get ready for more of the rumors, backstabbing, and jokes you loved from the original movie with some fetch surprises. Rated PG-13. Wear pink and head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you are having a good week so far. Before I start, I would absolutely love it. Well, there's two things. I have a new record coming out this Friday the 5th of February, and it is called Run Run. It is a collaboration between myself and Jaded and featuring the amazing Arco on the vocals. I'd absolutely love it if you could go pre-order it on Beatport. It would mean the world to me if you could. However, if you don't want to do that, make sure you hit subscribe and like this episode, whether you're on YouTube or iTunes or Spotify. Give us a little review as well, or in the comments below. That'd be great. Now, coming up on the podcast this week, Manolo. Manolo, I've known him for probably about a year and a half now. I was introduced to him by Bot. I think we met at his house. And then we worked out that it was just over a year ago we were hanging out at my show in LA. And then we grabbed lunch together the day after with a load of friends. And I've always followed Manolo's music since we kind of met. And it's always like, it's always been a little bit different. And I've really liked that. And I've always really liked his persona, how he holds himself in public and on social media, and just his outlook on life. Then COVID struck and he started doing this insane art, and it was just absolutely amazing. I think I saw his first post and I hit him up and was like, dude, this is amazing. Like, keep that shit up. And he has, and he's had some amazing things that's come out of creating art and creating music. So I thought it would just be perfect to get him on the show. So without further ado, Manolo. Manny, what's cooking, man?
Not much, man. Just staying busy, you know, keeping my mind occupied.
I feel you. You're in LA right now, right?
Yeah.
How is it out there?
It's okay. It's okay. You know, I always seem to look at things from a positive perspective. So things can be better, considering what's happening, you know?
Yeah, definitely, man. I was just literally taking a piss just a second ago, and I was thinking, when was the last time I saw you? And it's literally like exactly a year ago.
Was it?
It was like,
that was
a year ago, like 3 days ago.
It was like your show, I think, at Exchange.
Yeah, I played Exchange, and then we all went for lunch the next day.
Okay. Yeah. And then we had, I think, we had ramen before your show too.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
So yeah, that was a fun night. It's funny that you say a year ago too, because I was just talking to Andrea about.
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah, just yesterday, a year ago, we were at Matt Spurlock's birthday party, you know? And it felt like maybe a couple months ago, you know? So it's weird to have that put in this perspective.
Yeah, it's wild.
Lived.
For me, it feels like a lifetime ago, but it was only a year ago. It seems like so much has happened in such a short amount of time that it just feels like it, like, even though it's been strange times with coronavirus and there's been a lot of not much, but it's kind of a long time ago, but so much has happened in my life and in your life, and in the world. And it's mad to think that it was only a year ago we were all raving and eating ramen. The good days, man, the good days.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, man. I mean, we were kind of, I'm grateful for the pandemic in that I was kind of like, I had my mind so focused on things where I was, I had tunnel vision.
Yeah.
And I really wasn't paying attention to the bigger picture much. So I'm kind of glad all this happened and it pumped the brakes a bit.
So what for you is, sorry for butting in, but what for you is the bigger picture?
Well, just where I am in my life and appreciating smaller things, you know, and not so focused on achieving a specific goal without being able to enjoy my day, you know?
Okay. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that because I think a lot of people are probably in the similar situation as you. But let's take it back a year when we were together. Like, what's changed in your perspective in life, like, than from today to then?
Well, the biggest thing for me that's changed is taking on more responsibility, you know. And then I was playing someone else's game, you know. Mm-hmm. At that time, I just launched Manolo and released quite a few projects. And I was part of what was happening around me, you know. And I really wasn't listening to myself and kind of telling my full-on story. I was just participating in something that was already existing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so when all this slowed down and everyone seemed to stop, I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't. A lot of this stuff I do just because it's therapeutic for me, you know?
Yeah.
Creating is therapeutic for me. So it just allowed me to take more responsibility and more ownership of where I am and what I want to put out in the world, you know?
Yeah, man. I love that. How long have you been writing music for?
Maybe since 2013.
Okay, cool. It's quite a while though.
Yeah.
Cause I came across you probably a couple of years ago. I think I met you through Andrea or Bot.
Yeah. I think we met at his house. I think it was 4th of July.
And I absolutely love your productions. They're always very like emotional, if that's kind of the right thing to say. They're very like thought provoking and not just your like general run of the mill club music, which I absolutely love, because there's not, especially in the scene that we kind of see ourselves in, it's not many people that are actually doing that. It seems to always be the same record or a lot of the same over and over again. And I think it's really interesting when somebody does something a little bit different and I remember when you sent some records over, it was probably about a year and a half ago, and I was like, you like, sometimes I automatically just judge, and I'm like, okay, I know what this is going to be, and then I listen, and I was like, damn, this is good. This is good. Yeah. And that's really like arrogant of me to do that. But you know how it is, the amount of promos you get sent on, or when you go through promo emails, the amount of records are just the same. You scroll through Beatport and they're all just the same. So it was really refreshing to kind of hear your music. Why?
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that. And I think early on, you know, when I moved to LA, I'm not originally from LA. I moved to LA to pursue music.
Yeah.
You know, and I had a whole life before LA. I had a career path I was on. I used to work as a subcontractor for the military. And backtrack before then, I started as a DJ.
Yeah.
I was a DJ, open format. And then I had this opportunity to make some money, working with the government, and then I wasn't fulfilled. So after I decided to let that go and move to LA, I didn't know anyone here. I decided just to learn the ropes, you know, and what I kept on running into were people that were, they'll have that song that would make their career.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily them. It wasn't them. It was a song that they were either, following a trend, mm-hmm. or I don't know what the inspiration was, but it wasn't them and it didn't fulfill them. And I always thought I don't want to be that.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen and, you know, I only have one shot at being me and doing this. So if it's going to work, it's going to be me. And that was one thing that it also took me a long time to release music because it takes a lot of courage to sound different, a lot for me.
Yeah.
You know, I was always surrounded by people that I look up to. And that was also another conversation where I'm just not up to that level. You know, and there was just a point where I think I just said, you know what, fuck it. You know, the time I have to do it now, I'm not getting any younger and I'm happy where I was. And I just had to put something out that was me. You know, I have tons of music. So it was just a matter of choosing what sounded right, what felt right. And as long as it was me and it felt like, it felt like it was something authentic, then I had no problem with it existing in the world. And I think there are a lot of lessons in that for me. And once I got to that point, I'm like, man, I wish everyone can feel this. I wish everyone can kind of like get over that hump and believe in themselves a little bit more to do what they want to do, you know? Because on the other, I mean, there's really no other side. It's just another hump there, right? Like you believe in yourself and you do something and there's another wall right in front of you that another, you know, some self-judgment there and you're always trying to hold yourself back, along the way, you know, but it's, I just had to be me, you know, I didn't care what anyone else sounded like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? I really didn't. I enjoyed other people's music and I would never put anyone else's production down, but I was like, that's cool over there, but that's not me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I tried, there were a few times where I tried, I'm like, oh, well, let me just try to sound like, you know, what's happening. And I'm like, it just felt disgusting to me. Like, I was like, I can't do this. I can't, you know? So yeah, it was just that if I was going to put things out in the world, it had to be authentic to me. And at that time, you know,
where did that come from though? Like, because talking from like my perspective, it can be very easy as an artist to look at every other artist around you and be like, I want what they've got, especially when you're kind of like starting out. So the route you're going is actually the harder route, but it feels more real. But where in your, like, why in your life is that a thing for you? Because I think it takes a lot of people a long time to actually kind of get that.
Well, I have an entrepreneur spirit, you know, and I tend to always want to learn how things work. And when I put the ball in someone else's court, it's never for the long game. I always want the ball back, and I want to do everything and control everything myself.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. But I don't want to go on a tangent here. I want to make sure I'm clear to what your question was, because my mind goes.
Go on tangents, man. It's absolutely fine. It's like we've got as long as we want.
But I think I've just seen people unhappy.
Yeah.
You know, with a career that was doing well on the outside, and they were just a shell, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't want to experience that, because, you know, I know I'm going against the grain and I'm making things more difficult for myself, you know, but I feel like the payout for me, not monetarily, but just the journey for me is much more fulfilling that way.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I think the extra work pays off in not necessarily financial gains, but we don't do this for financial gains at the end of the day. It is still it's still a business, and we still have to make money, of course, and we still have to pay your rent and pay your mortgages and whatever. But at the end of the day, I don't think many musicians that start out to make money last long, because it takes so long to make money in this industry. And in the arts, it's not just in music, it's in anything creative. It takes you years and years to become recognized for somebody to want to pay for what you do. And I think when you eventually get there, or for me, when I eventually got there, I started to learn who I was as a person and where I wanted to take my career, if you know what I mean. And I think evolution as an artist is key. But
yeah,
for you going and just doing what you absolutely love, there's not many artists that can truly say that they've done that from day one.
Yeah. I mean, also, you know, I do these morning walks, and I was thinking about this, I think just yesterday. It's like, you know, you're just a person with experiences, right? Your entire life, you take in these different experiences, music, art, TV, movies, and you take what you like and you create an identity around it, right? You take what happens to you, you create yourself out of those things. So what a waste would it be for me to ignore that and only make something according to the market?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Instead of things that influence my entire life and tell the story that way. It's much more fulfilling. It comes from a deeper well creatively. And you can't go wrong. You know, there's no bad production. It's almost like, you know, I tell people all the time, just look at it like you're writing in your journal. There's no wrong way to write in your journal.
Yeah.
You just do it. You're just expressing yourself and getting things out on paper. So it's just, I treat that, you know, with my art and with the music. It's like, just get out an emotion that you're feeling or a moment in time for you, whether it's now or in the past, and express that.
Yeah.
You know, so when you tell me my music is an emotional, that's where it's coming from. It's an emotion for what I'm feeling, or, you know, a mood that I'm trying to portray, you know?
No, I love that. I love that. And I think it's really interesting to see it kind of happen. And at the beginning of, let's go back. Actually, I want to talk about life as working in the military and things like that. And do you think that's kind of changed how you look on life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've had that rigor, and I've had that the seriousness of every move being very important.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen the world in a perspective that not many have, you know, and I appreciate a lot of people ask me, well, how are you so positive all the time? Or, you know, things just seem to roll off really easily for me.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm a pushover. I can voice my opinion at the right time, but a lot of times it's not the right time. You know, 90% of the time, it's not the right time. A lot of the stuff that you're experiencing isn't about you, you know, it's about whatever someone else is going through. So I think that's just allowed me to put things into perspective in a way to serve me better, you know?
Yeah.
And just allow to like ebb and flow with things that happen to you and not be so rigid, you know? And with the music, like I've lived that life. I've made money and I've worked a 9-to-5. That's what my beard is an anti 9-to-5 for myself. I've worked that strict lifestyle and I made more money than most and I wasn't satisfied. So I'm like, I know what that feels like. I don't want that, you know, and I'm fine if I have to struggle and create because I not knowing what's on the other side is enough for me versus, you know, doing things for money and just feeling empty. I could create and do this all day long. You know, sometimes it's a roller coaster. Don't get me wrong. It's not, you know, it's sometimes I'm like, why did I choose this path? Cause it's just the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But it's what I chose and I'm going to see it to the end, you know, and to be honest, there is no end, but I'm going to see where I can take this, you know?
Nah, man, you're definitely right. But I think that's the difference is when you're doing something because you absolutely love it and you're not doing it for any other reason apart from that it makes you happy. You don't need any other gains from that. You don't necessarily need the financial as much as what you can in a 9-to-5 job. You don't have those expectations. Whereas when you're doing something purely just to earn money, it's okay, how can I make the most money I possibly fucking can? And with the least amount of work I possibly have to do, if you know what I mean. And in this job, it's kind of like the opposite. It's how much work do I have to put in to earn a bit of money? Oh, I lost you there.
It's clear now.
Can you hear me? Yeah. And it's like how much, like in the music and in arts and creativity, it's like how much work do I have to put in to just earn a crust and just pay my rent and pay my mortgage and do all of that. And I think it's so important. And I really hope coronavirus has kind of helped people in this situation to be like, I can just do what I want. I don't have to. I want to do something I love, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's actually had that effect on people?
No. I feel... So it's a business, right? A lot of these things, there's a lot of big players in the game manipulating a lot of things on the back end, right? And I sometimes I feel bad for the average fan because they don't really know what's going on. Yeah. You know what I mean? They feel they see somebody on the uptick, but it's really a lot of manipulation going on by the bigger players in the game that are invested in these artists. So it's like, I feel like the artists that are in those positions will keep on playing their position. It's more that they're part of a machine than their own creative journey.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I think that machine will like keep them in line, you know, and it's unfortunate that's the way I believe things are, and it may not be true, but it's going to keep the creativity, the left and right of it is going to be tightening up more and more, you know what I mean? Until someone comes out that is being themselves and that's not playing that game. Because if you have fans, it doesn't matter what happens. You have attention, you have fans, you know what I mean? So it's like, creating that fan base should be every artist's, you know, first, I guess, goal instead of being a part of that machine. Because once you're part of that machine, you're not really your fans. You 50% your fans, 50% the machine's fans. You know,
yeah,
because they're generating that attention, generating those looks that you get. So it's like, that's also, again, I chose a harder path. I see how this works.
Mm-hmm.
I respect it. I'm not downplaying it. That's the way it works, and it's working, you know, but let me try this out. Let me try if I can make it work as an outsider, you know?
See, I did it the opposite. I went the machine route. I signed to Dirty Bird. And automatically had a fan base. However, where I kind of disagree with you on this to a certain extent is that let's just use Dirty Bird for an example, right? Because it's just easy.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty Bird has a huge fan base. They have signed so many records.
Yeah. Yet
every artist doesn't do the same on each. On the label, if you know what I mean, not every artist is as successful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I feel like it takes the artist to put the work in. Because the machine is giving you exactly what the machine gives you.
Well, it's put the work in, but it's also from a fan's perspective, it's more than just the music, right? It's the look, the story, the brand. The aesthetic of how everything's coming across,
yep,
the rollout. So the music is, in my perspective, and I'm all about the music, but it's also such a small part of the entire picture.
It's minimal. The music is minimal.
It's probably like, the smallest.
I think it depends. Unless the record is so good that people can't get. Let's say, for instance, Sheba San, okay, right? Sheba mm-hmm. was doing his thing before OK came out. And had a bit of a fan base, not huge though. OK came out, it was the biggest record Dirty Bird's ever released. And look at Sheba now, mm-hmm. Sells out pretty much every show.
Yeah.
And I would say part of the thing with Sheba is that he didn't do any interviews. He didn't really put his face anywhere. It was like kind of a bit of a mystery of who he was at the beginning.
Yeah. It's not saying you have to participate in those different sectors, but they are there and you can manipulate them to fulfill whatever the brand is. So for the fact that he didn't partake in any of that things, it created mystery around his brand for the fan. They don't even know what he looks like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not everyone needs to be front and center. You know what I mean? There's different ways to take these brands in. So I think, you know, I get that. I don't even know where I'm going with this. I don't agree or disagree.
No, yeah, just, I get what you're saying.
Like, that's just like my perspective on things, and I feel like, you know, you have to know those things exist.
Totally.
And you can just play your cards how you want to.
Totally.
You know, but I feel that I don't know. I just as a lot of these bigger players get bigger, they take up more of the space, you know, in the industry, yeah, and they buy in more of the culture per se. And it's like, if they're not tastemakers,
mm-hmm.
it's just going to dull out the fan. You know what I mean?
I feel, again,
taking the harder route. Maybe I just enjoy things to be harder. Or enjoy the longer journey, you know what I mean? But also maybe there's some more upside there too, and a longer career.
I think realistically, longevity is the key in this game. There's so many artists that bandwagon jump to keep mm-hmm. relevant rather than just doing what they do to keep relevant themselves. And I think I mean keeping relevant by keeping your fans engaged and keep growing fans, because at the end of the day, if you started playing shows 6 years ago, well, full time 6 years ago, I've been playing shows for much longer than that, but 6 years full time, I can guarantee you the people that used to watch me 6 years ago, they're probably not even going to clubs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of them are getting married and having kids, so going to parties and realistically, listening to club music is much more like you need a new fan base. And there's a lot of artists that I find that haven't kept relevant with their fans. How do you think, how for you do you feel like you would keep relevant?
I think as you grow as an artist, your taste changes. So it's expressing that taste so that maybe you can start to make things for those fans that are getting older. You know, I always wonder, I was like, what happens to those people once they get older? Because the market it's a young, forward-facing mm-hmm. market.
Yeah.
And then there's this entire group of people that are just not taken care of after that. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, they're just like, hey, it's just not a cool thing to do to please a 30, 40-year-old market. But they're there, and they're kicking.
Yeah.
They're listening to something. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that that's my goal, but I think there's a lot of strategy behind it too. You know, it's like, as much as I enjoy the creative side of things, I also love the business side of things just as much, if not even more, maybe.
Yeah.
So I enjoy strategy. I enjoy figuring out what would like tip things in my favor. And I'm not there as an artist yet, but when I do get to that point, I'm very cognitive of that space and maybe how to do that, you know, but it just has to be tastefully done, you know? And I think you've done that beautifully. You know what I mean? Like you know how to get the attention and then just like retract away a little bit and create. I think when you do that, it's much cooler. You're not putting yourself out there completely and saying, this is me. It's just like, you just throw a little sample out there and let them come to me. You know what I mean? And you did that with, I can't remember the name of the record, but it was that record with the long break, and it was like very short.
The Designs For You.
Yeah.
Remix. Yeah.
So you did that perfectly. You left it where, I almost felt like it was open-ended. It didn't really give you everything you wanted, but then you would just listen to it again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To fulfill that need for it to be longer, you know? And I was like, oh, this is brilliant. At the right time too. That's, nobody was really doing anything like that. Everybody was just doing the same shit. You know, here you come, you just drop that record and kind of like not even really push it with everything you got. I felt like you kind of like let it marinate in the culture for a little bit, and it just created a life of its own, you know? And I think little things like that, you know what I mean? Where you're paying attention to where you are as an artist, but you're also pushing, you know, the boundary for your sound a little bit more and letting fans know like, hey, I'm still growing too. You know what I mean? Like, this is, doesn't sound like a lot of my previous catalog, and it doesn't have to, you know, here I am, like it or not.
Yeah.
So I thought that
it's a battle
doing things like that.
It's a proper battle, man. I don't know how you felt in this like day and age, but I've, like during coronavirus, I've written a lot of very different stuff and a lot of very different, like I've got a single out on, it's going to be Friday next week, but Friday when this comes out, and it's like not what I would put out usually, if you know what I mean. But I love it, and you're right. I think for me, that's the reason why I started a record label, is to start to release music that doesn't, I was always writing music that wouldn't fit on people's labels.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got to the point for me where I had to create an outlet for myself, to just release music that I really like writing. It's tough though, because it took me a long time to get there. And it's having the confidence to, for me, the business side of it is huge. And I want,
there's a lot of unanswered questions there's a lot of I don't knows when you're in that, when you're on your own, you know what I mean? And you're making this happen. And I'm always trying to educate myself on the way these things are happening and the way the business is moving. And I'm not a big fan of his music, Russ, a hip hop artist, but I'm a big fan of how he handles his business.
Okay. I've not heard of him.
You know what I mean?
How does he do it?
Well, he self-releases a lot of his stuff,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And he sells out arenas on his own, where a lot of these artists that are part of major labels can't do that. They have to have another artist that they're tagging along with to fulfill that those spaces, you know? So he, one of the things that he always said that, you know, playlisting, everybody's paying attention to playlisting. So he's like, when you submit these songs as your label, you're pressing the same submit button to these playlists that these labels are.
Totally.
People try to think that these labels have these connections with these playlisters. A lot of times they don't. They get turned down all the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So why not take that risk and you press that submit button versus giving them
totally
a share of what you're doing? And, you know, of course, there's other levers that they have, but I enjoy, again, the harder route, and I'm gonna just do, you know, I'm still gonna release on labels, don't get me wrong, but I'm still gonna do my own things,
yeah, man,
and learn the back end of these things, because that's ultimately also gonna help my music.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think you're 100% right when it comes to the self-releasing thing, and major record label, there's a difference between an artist and somebody that's just put out a record that's done really well. And you'll mm-hmm. see this on Spotify and Apple Music. Well, you don't see it on Apple Music because they don't show you the stats, but you'll be able to see like the first few records that were signed to a major that had millions of streams. And then they do another release on a smaller label and it doesn't have as many streams, or they try and do a show and no one turns up. And there's a difference between, it's really interesting. I talk to my manager about this a lot. And it's almost like there's two businesses now. It's almost like it used to be like music and music sales and fans are one, right? Like, if you sold 200 records, you could probably sell 200 tickets. Where now there's artists that stream millions of streams due to playlisting, but they couldn't even sell 50 tickets to a show. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of where the industries are split, because if you're streaming millions of streams, you can actually earn a reasonable good living if the deal's not bad with the label. Which is going to be if it's a major label. But then if you can't sell the tickets, you don't have a fan base. And it's really strange because there's like this huge population of Spotify artists that no one know who the artist is. They just know the song.
Yeah.
And I think that's massive failure in this industry, because you're just creating a throwaway industry.
It's getting worse now with TikTok.
It's so bad. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of pros to it. Like, I think it's great. Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok even. They're, all these streaming platforms are actually paying artists. And artists can earn a full-time living from selling records or streaming records. Like, I was doing some research on some like more like down-tempo stuff. And there's a record label called like Cow or something, or Calf, I don't know off the top of my head. And they like have a playlist that's got 4 million followers on. And every single artist that they release, that they're like averaging like 4 to 6 million streams per record. Mm-hmm. And I've never, like, no one's ever heard of these artists. These artists don't tour. Yeah. They don't do anything. They literally just write music and put it out, and it's like a machine, and that's how they earn their money. And I think it just depends on as an artist who you want to be. But in the dance scene, I'm seeing it a lot where you're getting somebody that has a lot of streams, but no one knows who they are.
Yeah.
And no one's looking to see who they are. It's just the record streams, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's someone figured out how to make money on this platform. Maybe they don't even care about building up a brand. You know what I mean? They found that they can make music that pleases a crowd, and they can create some kind of stream revenue from it.
Mm.
If that's their intention, get the bag. You know, make some money by any means. If you're trying to build a brand, then obviously it's not working. Try to figure out what you have to do to create something around the music, so that people are trying to engage and figure out more about you. Or it doesn't even have to be about the artist all the time, too. Though I think it's not for everybody. A lot of people don't like to be front and center,
mm-hmm.
or even be part of any of that game, you know. So I don't know. I know it's getting worse with TikTok, and that people know these songs, and you know, you'll come across that page, you're like, hey, I'm the guy that made that song. That people just don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, that's cool. Next. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like the turnaround is even worse than it was when Spotify was starting.
Yeah.
You know, where I can imagine songs being even 2 minutes now, you know what I mean? Like, or less. So, yeah, it's just where things are. You know, I'm not one of those purists that wish things were the way they were before.
I don't.
Because that's not how things work.
No.
No, that's not. It's nice. It's nice to think that, but you got to be thinking ahead if you're trying to really be part of what's happening and make this a long career. It'd be nice to be nostalgic about things, but that you're just wasting time.
Wishing
things were the way they were.
I also think people like it is great to look back on times, but at the end of the day, pre-internet, like it was a handful of people that were successful in music. Now the internet's like
mm-hmm.
a fuck ton of people are successful in music. And at the end of the day, I want a world where there's more creatives earning money than non-creatives. And
mm-hmm.
also nowadays with the internet, you can actually earn a very good living from being a creative and just doing everything online.
Yeah. I think this pandemic put that into high gear. You know what I mean? Where it forced everyone to work from home and forced the industry to match.
Yeah.
That as a new norm, you know, and I feel like there's just, if you're just not trying to go with how things are going and you're not making things better, you're creating friction. Mm-hmm. And that friction is only going to slow you down. And there's someone else who's ahead of you trying to get further and look into the future and where things are going. You're just going to be left in the dust,
totally,
you know,
agree.
And it's nice. It's not, you know, I think about it often, you know, I think about how things used to be, but you know, that's not going to serve me. It's not going to get me where I want to go. So it's like, hey, you know, let's figure out where we want to go. Let's figure out where.
You have to, man, because otherwise you're going to be one of those people that gets left in the dust. No one else is looking out for you at the end of the day, and I don't mean that in a horrible way. No one's looking out for me. The last thing I want to do is, like, I'm always thinking, okay, what's next? What's next? You might have a record that's super successful, but it's what's next? Like, that record's not going to be successful in 5 years' time. Yeah, people might be nostalgic about it and be like, oh, can you remember that record? But...
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you've got to just keep going. And the people that are successful are the people that just keep going. And that's in anything, man. That's in anything. That's in, like, any walk of life. You just got to keep pushing on.
Yeah.
And do it anyway, which is a nice segment.
Yeah. That was a big hurdle for me, you know, with... with the art stuff, it was all so random.
Before we start, I kind of want to go back and explain, like, I want you to explain what Do It Anyway is, and kind of what you do. Because I think there's probably some people that listen to this that don't know what you do as well on top of music.
Of course. So Do It Anyway came from...
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I just had a ton of time on my hands, you know, due to the pandemic. And I couldn't enjoy my day if there wasn't anything productive happening, you know. Mm-hmm. So I've always been creative, you know. All my releases, with the exception of one, I did the artwork for.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just a very hands-on person, and I've always felt like just a very creative person, you know. So I wanted to sketch, I wanted to draw, and you know, my wife bought me an iPad for my birthday, and I'm just like, you know what? I don't even know what I'm doing. You know, I don't even know what kind of app I need to use. I just Google, what app can I draw on? Procreate was the most popular. So I got in, didn't know how to use it. And I started just drawing,
mm-hmm.
painting, drawing, whatever, digitally. And I put my first piece out. And I was surprised. People were like, oh, man, this is so cool. And even you messaged me like, hey, yeah. I would buy this. I'm like, holy shit. Okay. All right. So I just kept on doing it, and at that time I wasn't making much music. So I just wasn't feeling very creative, you know, and I hit actually a very depressive state because of that. And things were just flowing. Like, I felt like a spectator. I was sitting there watching things happen. I'm like, oh, this is cool. I'm doing this. Holy shit. And I would do 2 or 3 pieces a day. And then, I would feel myself judge my work. Mm-hmm. I would feel that, oh, this isn't good enough.
Yeah.
And I would just like, fuck it. I'm gonna do it. I'm just, yeah, whatever. I'm going to put this out, you know? And a lot of the stuff was very sloppy. It's very just like, I don't know. It looked like a 5-year-old did it, you know, yeah. But I just didn't care.
Yeah.
I'm just like, fuck it. I'm going to put it out, and it makes me feel something. And I did it anyways. Right. So the idea was, I'm like, oh, there's a message in this. There's something tangible that I want to get across to people that I appreciate, you know. It's like, there's always going to be that voice in your head. There's always going to be that internal conversation. The judgment never goes away. But sometimes, for a while, it's good to just let that shit go.
Yeah.
And create from just a pure space, you know, maybe even looking back and looking at it in perspective, letting the inner child just go for it, just go,
yeah.
You know, and just don't pin it down, you know? Mm-hmm. So I remember I was making the zine, the little magazine of all the artwork. And I had to create some kind of cover art, and I was like, fuck it, do it anyway. I typed it in there, created the font, put it in there, and I don't even know what it really meant all 100% at that time, but it just resonated with me. I'm just like, yeah, once I put it out and it just landed even more, the message landed even more internally, where I'm just like, okay, there's the voice is definitely there. Mm-hmm. The judgment is definitely there. So let's control it a little bit more, or let's just create from a fun space, yeah, you know, instead of judging things so much. And it actually helped my music out a ton. I would try things that I'd never tried before because I just didn't have the courage to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I recording my own vocals on a song. I did that after I did the art. The art was making me more, I guess, I was just more creative with the music, mm-hmm, you know, so it was feeding off of each other. The different mediums were helping each other. So that's what the Do It Anyways message was for me, where it was just like, hey, you know, that voice is never going to go away. Acknowledge it, you know, but also give yourself a chance to create from a free space. You know what I mean? Free of that judgment, free of expectation, free of anything. Just do it.
Love it. Love it.
And I remember my friend's wife was like, hey, I love this art. Maybe this is it. You know, maybe this is the thing for you. You know what I mean? Because she's not really into house music. She's like, yeah, I don't know about the music stuff, but maybe the art stuff is. And I'm like, hey, you know, I appreciate that. And she's a major in the Army, so she's tough. And she was like, I want you to, you know, are you going to do some paintings? And I'm like, I really don't know what I'm doing with paintings. You know, right? The judgment kicked in, the normal conversation. And she hit me. She's like, well, you're going to do it anyways, right?
Like, mate, that's so good coming from a military person, because it's classic military mentality. It's just it.
So, you know, she got one of my first paintings. And I noticed that. It was when I first put the canvas up. I'm like, it was a blank canvas. It was intimidating. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I don't know anything about acrylic paint or these paintbrushes and setting up the canvas. And sure enough, I just went on YouTube, learned a few things, and just went on there. A lot of times I didn't even really care about tutorials. I'm going to figure out how to do this. And then whatever questions arise after I did it, you know, I'll try to figure those things out. But yeah, it was a big moment for me, and I still have to remind myself, you know, like to just get out of my own way.
Yeah,
you know, not overthink things. If I feel like something is cool, it's cool for me. It's fine. It's fine. You know, don't worry about it. Yeah, you know, just always try to push the boundary a little bit, but also just create. You know what I mean? Just stay in that moment and keep on feeding that urge to create. So yeah, that's what the Do It Anyway stuff was for me in that moment. Like, there's a lot of stuff. I'll tell this story too. There's a lot of open doors that it's opened for me, where, you know, I make reggaeton too. I make a lot of other kind of music. And there's this artist. He's one of the biggest producers in the reggaeton world. His name's Tiny.
Yeah.
And he has this label called Neon 16. They just released a record with J Balvin, Bad Bunny, and Dua Lipa on his label, mm-hmm, you know. And I think it's a subsidiary of Motown, or they're collaborating with Motown. So it's a big player in the game. And the record just resonated with me. I'm like, fuck, man, I love this producer. I love what he's doing. I'm just going to make some artwork inspired by this song, right? So I made like a mock-up of photo or cover art for that song. And I made it one night, and I told my wife, I was like, I'm going to make this to get their attention. You know, they're going to love this shit, you know? So I made the artwork, and I was in bed. I was in bed right before bed. I was just doing this, and I was really focused. And I put the artwork on my Instagram story, tagged them, went to bed. Woke up, the A&R DM'd me. Hey, man, this is really cool. He went through my page, liked all my artwork. He's like, damn, man, this is really cool artwork. How much are one of your pieces? you know? I'm like, holy shit, okay. I didn't realize this was going to happen so fast. Yeah. I just went to bed, woke up, I already got a DM. So I told him, hey, if you really like this artwork, you know, I really enjoy what you guys are doing. Let me just send this to you on me. You know, and he was on a company retreat. They got a private jet as a business. They went to Turks and Caicos, and they were on a little company retreat. They were having dinner. And he shows everybody at the table, including the producer that I love, the artwork that I just gifted him, you know. So, like, he messaged me. He's like, oh, man, are you sure? You know, I don't have a problem paying. I was like, no, please. You know, it's on me. You guys, I'm a fan of what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
It'd just be an honor for me, you know, to give this to you. So after that, he was speechless. He even went on to write a post. It's like, I'm really on his Instagram. It's like, I work hard, and he's an A&R and a manager of the label. And he's like, and this guy gifted me with something, and I'm just grateful for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You guys believing in our brand. And once they got the artwork, he again showed everybody, and they invited me out. This was kind of like pre-COVID when no one really knew what was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
They're based out of Miami. They're like, dude, we're doing a showcase, doing art balls, and we would love to have you down.
Oh, dive.
Mind you, I just picked up a paintbrush like 2 weeks ago. I have no idea what I'm doing. I was just like, I couldn't believe this shit. I'm like, dude. Okay, yeah, I'm down. I'm down to go to Art Basel, you know? I didn't think it was going to happen because I kind of was up on COVID before a lot of people were aware of what was happening with it. But, yeah, it's open doors that music hasn't. And it, sometimes I found it interesting. You know, A&Rs, he gets approached every day with music.
Mm-hmm.
And I even told him, you know, in our conversations, like, hey, you know, I make music too. I just made – I have a collaboration with – this other producer, he just, you know, he's a Grammy winning producer. Yeah. He collaborates with Bad Bunny and Ricky Martin and a lot of other artists. He's like, oh yeah, we just did a record with him. I'm like, oh, okay. This is really close. Like, cool. You know? But our conversation would have ended there if it wasn't for the art. What, you know what I mean? 100. If it wasn't for something else that I have, that's still me, but another angle. You know what I mean? Coming in and expressing myself from a different perspective. So I thought that was cool. Like, that was my big takeaway. I was like, oh, well, you know, this can open doors for me that maybe the music isn't necessarily doing. I know it's a smaller niche that I'm working in, but I just thought that was a really cool story that happened this summer. And in that conversation, like, you know, he's based out of Miami, but every time he's going to come to LA, he's like, hey, man, let's hang out and all these things. Like, all off the strength of the art, you know, and that was, I still don't know what's going to happen with that. You know, I still don't know what's going to happen with that relationship because he's the biggest reggaeton producer right now, period.
But I think that's the thing is that it's actually, tell me if I'm wrong, but it's about actually not having any expectations. And,
oh, yeah.
And you literally just did a piece and didn't expect anything. You're not, it's not like you're DMing them and saying you have to have this piece of art. You're literally just tagging someone in it. If they see it, sweet. If they don't, then fine. But the way you did it is, mm-hmm. is the cool way, is the respectful way. Is how many times do you get people send you links on your DMs and they're like, listen to my song? And it's like, well, that's not how you approach this, if you know what I mean. This is not how you kind of build relationships up with people. And, man, I fucking love that story. It's great.
Yeah, and you know, had I went to Art Basel, who knows what would have come out of that, you know, because at that time, it was my understanding that J Balvin and Bad Bunny were hosting it.
Yeah.
You know, so it would have been kind of like a big deal, you know, but even then, that connection's there, and that story is amazing to me, you know, and I will always have that story with me, and the opportunity is endless there. It's an open-ended opportunity there, and even, not even opportunity, it's just, you know, we're cool now. Yeah. I talk to him. We talk about sneakers. I try to talk about anything but music, with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was a cool lesson for me in that, you know, I also, if you put that energy out there, I feel like I've been experiencing it since the beginning of launching this brand with Manolo. It comes back tenfold.
100%.
It comes back in ways that you could just never imagine, you know, and that little bit of extra effort goes a long way. I even have another story about that. I don't know if you mind.
Go for it, man. I want to hear them. They make me happy.
So there was a time where Manolo just launched, you know, I just played EDC and I'm setting up to play House Head's anniversary, where it was like me, Brillstein, Bot, Chris Lake, and I can't remember. I have a very bad memory. I'm bad with names, but so it was a huge night. It was a big night, and I always wanted to play at Sound, and so I took it really seriously. You know, I hired Aladdin Adalid to shoot. I created a shot list for the night. Like, this is what I want. This is what I want from the night. Just execute on these things and we'll be good, you know, and everything went as planned. You know, I don't know if it's cheesy or not, but I was like, I had a vision for things, how the night was going to go. I was like, I'm going to get an SUV and it's going to pull up this kind of way and we're going to get into it and you're going to shoot like this. And, you know, With Uber, it's kind of like a miss. You might get a minivan. You might get you don't know what you're gonna get, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just like I told him the story. I was like, this is what I want, and the SUV that I wanted pulled up. I was like, oh, it's perfect. It's beautiful. It looks great in this shot. We'll get in. We'll get some B-roll in the car, and we'll get to Sound, and there'll be a line. And sure enough, there was a fucking crazy line. And we were met, and he's getting all these shots, you know? And, you know, we do our set. The night goes as planned. And it was a crazy night. It was a wild night. And I told him, hey, give me this footage right now. You know what I mean? Like, we're at the club, so it's what we just finished. Our set was over. It's maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. I go home with the footage and I'm editing at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm editing the footage in the video.
Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck, I'm going to be the first person out with anything from this night, you know? So the next day at 12 o'clock, I had created a little 1 minute video.
Yeah.
And at that time I was like, cool. It's out. I had zero expectation. And Chris Lake DMs me. He's like, hey, man, the song that's playing in this, is that your song? I was like, yeah, that's a new song coming out with Bot and I on In Rotation. He said, oh, cool. Can you send me these songs? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, here's the email. And then he's asking me about the songs. I'm like, cool. He's like, hey, can you send me the waves too? And I'm like, fuck, okay, cool. He really wants these fucking songs, you know? And for me, I'm like, holy shit, that little bit right there was a huge payoff where my wife was like, go to bed already. It's already late. You know, like, it's time to go to bed. You already played.
Yeah.
Like, take a shower and go to bed. I'm like, no, I got to finish this fucking video. And I got to put this out. And sure enough, like, and the funny thing was I was at a day party and I was telling somebody about the night prior. I was like, it was awesome. Chris Lake played and Amin Edge and Dance played. And just as I said Chris Lake, I remember my phone, you know, had a notification. I look and it was Chris Lake DMing me. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? You know, like, I couldn't believe this shit. My friend was like, are you okay? I was like, I just mentioned Chris Lake and now he's DMing me. Like, this is really, this is ridiculous, you know? So those things keep happening over and over and over again. Even working with Andrea on some things with Bot, we'll be talking about someone, right? Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about, oh, maybe we should get this vocalist. and the vocalist will fucking DM him that he hasn't talked to in years.
In years, yeah.
You know? And I'm just like, dude, this keeps on happening. This is so strange, you know?
Do you know why that happens, though? Or why why do you believe it happens?
Well, there's an energy that you're putting out, yeah. Right? And I don't know if there's biology around it. It's an actual thing. There's an energy field that if you're strong enough and if you're pure enough and clean enough, it's even stronger, whatever you're putting out in the world. And they receive these things, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it's just a feeling or emotion to just hit somebody up. It happens all the time, you know, where you're thinking about someone and they text you.
Yeah.
So it was just, for all of 2019, if you see any pictures of me playing, I wear a hat that says, it has a Marlboro logo and it says Manifest.
Yeah.
The entire year, I'm like, dude, these weird things keep on happening. And I'm just going to keep on going for it and, you know, and keep on doing what I'm doing. But it's a wild ride. You know what I mean? As a spectator in it all, you're just like, oh man, this is just amazing. And even my wife was like, what? That next morning, I was like, hey, see, you wanted me to go to bed? I didn't. I finished this video and I put it out. And then even with the Bad Bunny stuff too, I was like, I'm going to make this the intention. I remember it came from a wholesome place. Like, I'm going to make this. They're going to love it. And I woke up and that's that A&R messaged me. I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, you do it without expectation of it really happening.
That's the thing.
But it feels like it's going to happen.
That's the thing.
Like, I'm going to do this.
It's not expecting that anyone's going to do anything for you or give you anything or let you win or anything like that. It's just, it happens, man. It happens for me. It happened as well. Like a lot of times in my career, especially when I started doing my own label side of things and kind of stepping away from the Dirty Bird and moving more into like the kind of the techno sounds. It happened to me, man. Like people were hitting me up that I would never thought would hit me up. People were playing records of that I would never think they'd play my records, if you know what I mean. I didn't even know if they knew who I was. I don't think they even knew who I was. Everyone thought I was fucking American for a long time. But if you're working towards something and you just work and focus on that thing that you want to achieve, it does eventually come. But it's you can't be at the point where, or that I find, is that it will come when you least expect it. It will come when you least want it. The more you want it, the less it will come. And the minute I hold my hands up and be like, it's never going to happen, that's when it happens for me. And I think for me, it's more that acceptance of, it's just not your time yet. It's just not now.
Yeah.
It's just, whoever's, I'm not religious at all, but whoever's looking over you or whatever energies you're giving out or whatever, it's just not, it's just like, nah, mate, you got to wait a little bit longer and we're going to make you sweat it out for a little bit longer.
Oh, yeah.
And then, bam, when you're least expecting it.
In a form that you would least expect the coming to. It's cool too, moving forward with no expectations, because then you're open to anything happening. Yeah. You know, like that's another thing I learned with COVID, is that I was very specific in what I wanted.
Yeah.
And so that I didn't allow those special moments to occur. I didn't give much space for that. I was maybe too militant in exactly what I wanted out of, a certain path. So I learned to let go of those things and those expectations. And even with the art, even more so, you know, like I'm still grateful that people buy my stuff, you know, like sometimes I get competitive. I'm like, oh fuck. I told my wife, I was like, this has to sell out 48 hours. I'm going to be pissed. And I'm like, fuck, people would just want to buy my stuff. That's good enough, whether or not I sell out, even just selling one, you know? So it's keeping yourself in check and keeping like the ego, like, yeah, all right, go sit down over there. You know, it's going to be all right.
Dude. Yeah, man. I have that every show. Every single show. And my manager must hate me. It's like, he's like, dude, you sold 500 tickets. You sold 800 tickets. And I'm like, well, is it sold out though? And he's like, well, no, it's not sold out, but you still sold like 800 fucking tickets.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but it's not sold out. So don't fucking tell me until it's sold out, because I'm just going to be stressing about it. And then, yeah. And then, yeah, man, I totally relate to that. And, but I think that's the, for me, it's the want to always grow and always get better and always be not stagnant. For me, being stagnant, being stuck in one position for a long period of time, it scares the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. For me, I struggle with just doing the same thing and not moving forward.
Well, how are you dealing with these times then? Like, how are you?
So the beginning of lockdown, the podcast was always something that I wanted to do, which is why I stopped my radio show in 2019. I stopped it November 2019, and the podcast was something that I always wanted to do. And as my tour started last year, I bought all the equipment. I bought a couple of the microphones when I was in Detroit, and then coronavirus happened, and I was like, this is kind of perfect time. So I started the podcast. I was also writing so much music at the beginning of lockdown, like unbelievable amounts of music. So pretty much I have all my records for this year kind of done already before the beginning of the year. So the podcast kind of was taking up some time. Writing records was taking up some time. And then towards the end of last year, I was kind of struggling in the sense that I just feel like I haven't achieved anything new.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing, like, what is life for me, if you know what I mean? Why, like, there's only a certain amount of music writing I can do, because realistically there's only a certain amount of music I can put out. And I know that's I know that's untrue. I could put out a record every week, but I want the records to be the best quality I could possibly put out. And I know that every record I write isn't my best quality, if you know what I mean. Just like I'm sure it's the same for you with music and art, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah,
every painting you do, you're not going to love. So I was just like, what the hell am I going to do? So also at the beginning of lockdown, I started working on a couple of other businesses outside of music. And they're kind of progressing forward more. And now I'm starting like another project for my food page and kind of going to build a few things through that. And realistically, I just like to always be doing something productive. I don't know about you, but just sitting down, doing the same old, going in front of the computer, trying to write music when your head's just not in it because you're thinking about everything else and you're thinking about, why am I doing this? What's it going to get? Like, what am I going to get from this? If you know what I mean, I'm not in the mood to write music. And also I've just been training loads. Been like, I live in a beautiful part of the world. So getting out and consistently training and getting to just go in nature and just enjoy it, really. That's kind of how I've
You have a beautiful life.
Mate, I have the fucking best life.
care of your body, you're trying out new things, I feel like maybe the podcasting stuff, maybe, I don't know, really gratifying. I mean, you're meeting people and you're learning, you're having these conversations that you never get to get because everyone's always passing. Everyone's like, hey, you know, green room conversation only lasts 10 minutes and you're bound to be interrupted by somebody.
Yeah.
So it's like now you're having these long conversations that mean something, you know, and they're sharing it with your audience that means even more. You know, I listened to your Shadow Child one and I'm like, holy shit, I listened to the whole thing, you know, one sitting, and I'm just like, man, I got a peek into who he is as an artist that I never knew.
Yeah, man, I totally agree. I think for me, I've said this so many times on the podcast, is that I would never, all of these conversations, I would never have had. Like, mm-hmm. even this conversation that you and I have, like, from the day I met you, I knew that, like, we'd get on, and I knew we could have a good relationship. But our, we would never in the room for longer than an hour together. And we were never together. We were, like, with other people. The conversations never just concentrate on you and I. It's literally everybody else. And some of the, like, some of the conversations I've had is just purely when it's just you and one other person, you can talk about whatever you want. There's no distractions, no mobile phones, no one asking mm-hmm. for a phone, no one bringing shots, no one doing this, no one doing that. And I don't feel like we have conversations like this in our everyday lives, like, ever. Like, when was the last time you were on the phone for even with your mates for an hour long, like, mm-hmm. actually talking life, if you know what I mean, and talking about deeper subjects and the reasons why things happen and everything like that. It just happens. It's classic example. Someone asks how you are and it's, yeah, I'm good, and you just move on. And the podcast has been, is great. And realistically for me, I'd love millions of people to listen to it. And mm-hmm. I get caught up in that sometimes. And I'm like talking to Ryan, my manager, I'm like, how can we grow this bigger? How can we make it bigger? Blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, I'm only on my like 43rd episode. I've got to do like another 600 before anyone's going to really give a fuck about it.
Yeah.
And yet there's still, we still get pretty good downloads. And I'm like, people are benefiting from it. And as long as people are benefiting from it, I'm benefiting from it the most because I'm just having these conversations.
Yeah. And you're learning about the other person.
Exactly.
Just, and, you know, like on the spot in front of everyone.
Yeah. And it's selfish for me. I'm not doing this for anyone else. I'm really not. And if anybody else wants to listen, then that makes me happy. But yeah, man, life's pretty good. I do have a great life. Although sometimes you can be like, what the fuck is going on? Today was one of those days for me where I'm just like, oh, what where are we? What's going on in life? How are we getting on?
Oh man, there's those moments where your perspective of things shift and you're like jolted by what's happening on around you. For instance, for me, you know, when that day that they stormed the Capitol, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into politics, but for me as a previous service member, I just held the U.S. in a certain spotlight in my soul, you know, in my heart.
Yeah.
And when I saw that happen, I felt like, what world am I living in?
Yeah.
You know, and
did you want to go fuck them up?
It wasn't even that. Like I wasn't angry. I wasn't so much. I was just angry at the execution of things. Like there's no way that they should have gotten into the Capitol. There was a lot of. This is the Capitol of the U.S. The Capitol building, and there's no way that they there's security here. There's private security there. There's so. I'm just like, man. It was really bad. It put me in a slump in that, you know, and of course I need to see that because that's just where we live right now. That's that's the truth, you know, that's what's happening. But there's those moments where your perspective of what's happening shifts because of something major, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, that was big. That was a big moment because a lot of my identity comes from me being proud to be American, to be a veteran, and there's certain things that just don't happen, and that was one of those things that happened, you know what I mean, that just shifted me, you know. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Those days, that even today with what's happening in the stock market and a lot of manipulation going on, and with one side always winning when they're losing, the game gets manipulated so that they don't lose, you know? So it's like, well, fuck, is all this shit fake?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, we're just keeping occupied until we die. Yeah. And then that's it. And they're just keeping us busy and working and supplying something bigger and being part of something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason why I'll be happy at least being a creator. I'm creating, I'm doing something that means something to me.
Yeah.
And it's connecting with other people. So no matter what's really happening, at least I'm doing what I love. And I told, you know, there was a Mega Million lottery that happened the other day. And just talking about, you know, we don't play the lottery, but my wife and I were talking about it. And, you know, I don't even want that money. I would never want that kind of money. You know, I'm happy with the pursuit that I'm on right now.
Yeah.
If I got $100 million, I'd be doing the exact same thing I'm doing right now. With just being a little bit, I would just donate more and give more, yeah. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
As far as the path that I'm on, I'm good. I'm happy with that, you know? And so that's the biggest thing that I learned, or the biggest thing that I try to keep in front of me all the time. Is like, you know, there's a lot of things happening all day long, but you have to find those core things that keep you happy and the path that you're on happy and meaningful, you know?
Yeah, man. I totally agree with you. And I think that's a fucking good way to end this. It's a nice little message. But before we do, like, fully end, how can people follow you, listen to your music, and buy your art?
So all my socials are Manolo Was Here. And the website is manolowashere.com. And all the links are on all the socials to my music. So just Manolo on all the platforms. And yeah, that's it. You can find me. I'm most active on Instagram. So cool, come, man. Say hi.
Do it. Dude, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a really, really nice conversation. And I hope we can get to do this soon again.
Yeah, man. Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate you. And I appreciate where you are in your world and sharing that with me. And thanks for the invite, and I'd be happy to do it again in the future anytime.
Anytime, man. Keep safe out there, and hopefully catch you soon, all right?
All right, brother.
Big love to you. And that is a wrap. Absolutely loved that podcast. It was I needed that today. It was really nice to just listen and kind of get his perspective on life. It was important. Hope you enjoyed it. Please share it with everybody. Keep safe, and I'll see you very soon. Big love.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.